Isaiah, remember the prophet guys. Back in these horrible times when nobody wanted to pay any attention to what God had to say, and he gave these prophet guys, he told them what to say to all these kings and all these Jewish people and the whole deal. And they would go do it. So we're backtracking a little bit. We're going back, you know, over Hezekiah and Manasseh, all those guys. We're going back to Isaiah. Last week we talked a little bit about how Isaiah, this is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before the Lord shows up. Way before he shows up. I mean, he's not even in the picture as far as the people that Bonner was talking about. But he has scripture and scripture and scripture in his writings about Jesus Christ. And we're not going to talk about the rest of those today as much as I'd like to, because I want to get into something else. Last week we found out that he knew, he wrote where he was going to be born, and when he was going to be born, and where he was going to be buried, was going to be a number of the transgressors. He had already said he's going to be nailed, he's going to be among the two, what, two thieves. All that stuff was prophesied in his name, Emmanuel. Just all sorts of things that we can see in the Isaiah's writings about Jesus Christ. Now, that's one of the things that's convinced me that this Bible is the Word of God. Somebody can write hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and just write this stuff that we can have it today. Let alone in his hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ for him to write about it. And that's all come true. So that was one of my first things that convinced me this Bible is the Word of God. So, but what I want to get into tonight, let's go to Isaiah 64. And that is the fact that Isaiah was telling all these Jewish people that they're going to have a horrible time coming up because they're rejecting God's words, and they're also going to have a marvelous time if they would just stay with the Lord. And in Isaiah's absolutely marvelous way of writing, I mean, this guy could write. He would describe the future. So now we already know that what he described about Jesus Christ has all come true. Right? It's all come true. Right, Caitlin? I mean, it's all come true. Danica? Everything he wrote, it's all happened as far as Jesus Christ is concerned. He also writes about what's going to happen way into the future when everything is all done and the earth has done what it's done and everybody's messed up and tribulation, all that kind of stuff. And he writes about that. So even though you're only 8 and 10 and you got to go through this thing called life, you got to learn all the things that your mom and dad, well, are learning. Maybe you can learn instead of them learning it the hard way. Maybe you could be the example for them. Then they just get mad at you if you are, so don't worry about that. You've got aches and pains coming up. You've got girls. You've got to struggle to find some kind of a guy somewhere, anywhere close to a King James Bible, believing Paul following, the whole, make the big list for you. Might as well give up right now. And then you're going to get sick and you're going to do some of those things older people do in the whole, I mean, it's just, life is just a bucket of joy. It is. But see, after this is all said and done, see now, look around the room. When you're like us, when you're age like us anyway, look around this room. We'll all be dead and buried. And what are we looking forward to? What are we looking for? I'm glad you asked that this morning, because Isaiah tells us what it's going to be like in the future years. Now, this is not TV. This is not some stupid video. This is not some pretend thing from Hollywood. This is real stuff. This is the way it's going to be. And it's written in such a manner that we have to read it a bunch of times and think about it and so we can see some things that happened back in the Old Testament days to prove that it came true in that minor form. And yet we know it's going to happen again, and then it's going to be forever. So if ever we get down in the dumps about life being such a joy that it is, Isaiah is a guy to look to, because he's going to tell us some things about the future. Catherine, pay attention now. I do this for you. You're sitting there writing, sitting there knitting or something. And what are you doing here? I tell you what. Let me aim to the Webb family out there. Here we go. Here's your chance for Captain 11, and Captain 11 didn't do your joy here today. Captain 11. You guys don't know Captain? They still don't know Captain 11 around here. Isaiah 64, verse 4. I'll give her a hug and tell her we love her anyway, in spite of things. Here we go. For since the beginning of the world, which is really quite long ago, isn't it, LD? It's been a long time. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. We still, even though we have this Bible, we just don't know what it's going to be like. It's going to be so spectacular. That's just a verse right there. Okay. So, we still don't know, but I'll tell you what, we can learn a lot. Isaiah chapter 6. We can learn a lot from this Bible that these people in this day didn't know unless they listened to Isaiah. If they didn't listen to Isaiah, they wouldn't know these things. Because Isaiah was the man to tell them about it. Now, Isaiah chapter 6, here we go. Are you ready? I mean, these are things that's going to happen. Now, Isaiah was told by God to do something. This was going to be his job as such. And we call it a commission, I guess. God tells us he has something for us. He wants us to go out and do, so we need to go out and do that. And in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah sees a vision. And remember, in the Old Testament days, they had this. This is one of the ways God talked to these people, was through visions. I mean, wouldn't that be something? You lay down in bed and you don't have to read your Bible. You just lay there and you can see a vision. Oh, wait a minute. We can do that today. We can. The only thing is, the vision that we're seeing late at night is not from God. It's from the devil. And because if it's not from God, it's from the devil. There's nobody in between playing the limbo nice guy or whatever. If it's not from God, it's got to be from the devil. So the vision we want to see is the one from God. And the only place we're going to see what these visions visionated is in the Bible. But let's see what Isaiah saw. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. He saw this. High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now you know we're not talking about it. Are Dagon's on there?
Yes.
We're not talking about the choo-choo train things. You know that, right? Got the robe and the long train. You know that, right? Because he doesn't talk about trains in the Bible. You do know that, right, Danica? Are you staring at me because I'm such a good guy, or what? You hearing me? Okay. So we know that. And his train filled the temple. Can you picture this at all? And it stood, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, this is Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's how Isaiah reacted when he got to see the Lord. See, now that would be us, wouldn't you think? I mean, we don't have one cell in our body that's clean enough to stand in front of the Lord.
Amen.
Except for one thing that he did. In our salvation, he cut that flesh away from the soul away from the flesh. Our flesh is still worthless, but now we could stand before him because of what he did for us, the sacrifice he made, the payments he made, we could do that. Now we have to go through this judgment seat to get our works so they could be presented before the Lord. Got to get rid of that junk that we've done so we can actually have the works put before him too. So anyway, here's Isaiah. He says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. In other words, he must have said a few wrong things in his life. You suppose? How's your lips? Are your lips a little unclean? Said a few things you wish you hadn't said? Anyway, let's go to Isaiah chapter 2. No, we're not done. We're not done yet. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. That's one of those things from the fire. A live coal. Now, kid, really, Zach, don't be like this and don't try to go into the fire and pick up one of those live coals, because you'll get burnt. But look at this. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth. He picks those things up, and he lays this thing on his mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. That's how we did it. What do you did? Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. We're getting there. You know, check out those ears. They get bigger as you get older, I've noticed. That's a weird thing. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? Isn't that what we always ask? Mom wants you to go out and do something. How long do I got to do this? How long? Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man and the land be utterly desolate. Wow. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. So here God tells Isaiah through this amazing vision with the coals and the lips, and then takes care of it, makes it so Isaiah can actually serve God in the whole deal. And he goes out, and you go out there and tell everybody what I tell them, how long I'm going to do this, until everything falls apart. So Isaiah and God knew it was going to fall apart, yet he told them, go out there and say what you have to say anyway. So what's going to happen today? It's going to fall apart. We know it's going to fall apart. We're going to fall apart. We're falling apart. But that's okay. We have to keep going. We have to say what needs to be said. We cannot change what we have to say to make things work, because it's not going to work anyway. So you might as well go out saying the truth. Amen? We might as well have two people left in the church saying the truth than 100 people not hearing the truth.
That's right.
Because it's going to fall apart anyway. So anyway, let's look at what he says. Isaiah chapter 2. Let's see what he says about what's coming in the future. It's amazing. These people, if they would have listened to Isaiah, they would have been able to partake in what he's talking about. But typical people, we don't listen to what we ought to listen to. Chapter 2, verse 1. We're just going to kind of skip around here this morning. And we had such a horribly late start, we'll probably not get this done this morning. Chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Oh, okay. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. You ever seen a picture of this guy with a sheet and a beard and a pipe, I suppose, or something? And they draw him sitting on top of a mountain, and he's supposed to be the all-around guru of wisdom. You ever seen those kind of cartoons? You'll see them eventually. But a lot of people think the philosopher is at the top of the mountain, and if you can crawl your way up in life and get up there, he'll tell you all about wisdom. Where are you supposed to get that from? Right here. Now, Jesus, this is not Jesus in a beard and smoking a pipe and putting down wisdom to people that can climb up to the mountaintop. They make fun of that thing. But he does say it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Everybody should want to go to the Lord. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. See, they're making fun of this in that kind of cartoon stuff. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Peace has arrived! O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. If this world would walk in the light of the Lord, there'd be peace. Well, you know, Isaiah is telling us, someday that will be the way it is. That really will be the way it is. It has to be him, though, that's going to make this peace. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people. What? They don't want to hear it. So now we have to go through a tribulation come about. Listen to this. Therefore, thou hast forsaken the people of thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. All our modern Bibles are from Eastern religions. And our soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. We have a good time in the world. We're pleasing ourselves in the world of strangers, and we go out there and party hardy with the world. But anyway, their land is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is full of rigs. Oh, I'm sorry, it's full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. That's the rigs one, yeah, for the trucks and cars and stuff. Their land also is full of idols. What's one of the great, the hottest TV shows? American Idol, you know. They worship the work of their own hands. Did I not do a wonderful job today? That which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust. For the see, we're seeing Isaiah tell in detail the millennium that's coming and the tribulation that's coming before the millennium. How the Jews are going to have to run and hide, and we get all the details here. This is what's going to happen someday. Wow. Verse 11. Ken, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. That tells us that there's people that need to be humbled today, because they're going to be someday. So long as we're not in the day when that's going to happen, we're seeing it build up. When you kids get older, you can read from Isaiah, and you can find out what's going on today in more and more detail as it grows. As it gets worser. You can get in this thing, and you can find out how worser it's going to get. Why? Why would you want to do that? So you can stay out of the mud. But I don't want to stay out of the mud. That's because you're a child. When you grow up with Paul, you'll quit wanting to play in the mud. That's what Paul's teachings are all about, is to quit doing childish things. Right now, enjoy the mud. But you get in trouble, don't you? Don't you get kind of trouble when you come in the house and you got mud all over you? Do you? Maybe not there. I mean, it may not be. I mean, if mom comes in with a bunch of mud on her too, I mean, what are you going to do? Isn't that true too? How can we expect our kids to stay in the mud if we're playing in the mud? So you go through this whole chapter right here, and you see the way things are going to be. And they're terrible. They're terrible. You don't want to be here for this. You don't want to be here for this. Look at Isaiah chapter 3. Let's go over chapter 3 here. Here's some other things that's going to take place. For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. There's going to be famine. We're going to run out of, can you imagine that? No food and water? We would love a day like today. What would you be doing today if we're living during this time right now? You'd have every bucket you could come up with trying to catch this water because you haven't seen water for so long, and you've been just touching your tongue with moisture because you haven't got enough water at the house. That's how it could get. That's what Isaiah is talking about here. The mighty man, the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator, he's going to get rid of that. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Oh, that sounds okay. Because it says here that the kids are going to run the ship. But see, here's the problem. By the time this happens, you'll be adults. And you'll be going through some of the frustrations we're going through because kids are ruling the house more and more today. And I know you sit there and you think, and what's wrong with that? It is wrong. When you cry and you get your way, you know what you just did? You just ruled the home. God doesn't like that. He does not like that. But I never cry and get my way. I know. You don't even have to cry anymore these days. You just go, can I have you? Sure, here, have this. Look what I bought for you today so we can have fun. You're running the ship, kids. I mean, let me tell you, from an outside visual source here, you kids, Zach, you know what? You are in charge of your home. Did you know that? Yeah, I knew you knew that. Yeah. He knows that. We're frustrated and don't know what to do sometimes because of the kids. Well, then you're running the ship. If we can't control a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old, how old are you? 8, okay, well, I'll go 9. You'd be off the hook a little bit. You know, if we can't even maintain happiness as parents because of our kids, they're running the ship. Oh, man, let's keep going here. Verse 4 or 5, and the people shall be oppressed everyone by another, and that's happening already more and more, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. You know what your kids have in this room? Passing notes, huh? Oh, ho, 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 ho. Let's open them up and get the sound out of the way here.
Well, I'll tell you what. See?
I tell you, there's just no respect here. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. The ancient. Kids, this room is full of ancient people. Did you know that already? You got ancient people in here already? And I tell you not to run in the church, not because I don't want you to run, although there's some element of that. I don't want you to run into some of our ancient people. You know what happens? You run into some ancient people, it just crumbles right there. And you can hurt them forever. And they've been through life. I mean, 900 years some of these people represent here. Do you know how much wisdom is in those people? And you little kids think that you got everything together, kind of a deal? And when you get to be teenagers, this is when it makes more sense that you think you got everything together. It's coming. It's coming, Mom. It's coming. Oh, it's coming. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. Letting the guy run the ship because you think he looks cool. That's a Hollywood thing there. Hey, you got some big, decent-looking clothes there. Let's you run the place. You got the $500 suits, you know, and the whole deal. And listen, look at Benny Hinn. Look at all these pastors of these big churches. Our own guys. Look at the clothes they're wearing. They're wearing some pretty fancy duds, dudes, threads, whatever you call that stuff. And there are people that believe that guy because he's dressed so well. I read the book, Dressed for Success. Obviously, I did not read the whole book. But that's what they do. This is where it's coming from. 7, in the day he shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of thy people, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provide the eyes of his glory. Well, I'll tell you, there's just stuff in this chapter. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin at Sodom, they hide it not. If any of you girls marry another girl, I will personally come back from the dead and just harass you your whole entire life. And if you make any changes, I'll still come back and harass you. Parents, I mean, this is what's happening today. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. Oh, good, need to be righteous. Well, see, we can't be righteous, but we can take his righteousness on our record. So even though he's talking this to Old Testament type people, and they had to get their act together, they had to do right, or they're in big trouble, what we see today is, I'll show you some more verses here from Isaiah, but he says we can't walk clean enough. We can't do it. So we need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because he's walked all this walk that they're supposed to walk. And he will charge that walk. He'll impute, is the word that you're learning. And he'll impute, he will charge that walk to your record. And now you can be righteous, because it's his righteousness that he's made you to be. So we still need to read in Isaiah and Jeremiah, all these Old Testament prophets, what it was that God expected. Because we're going to find out we can't do it either. Now, let's get back to this here. Verse 11. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hands shall be given him. We read in the Bible that God says, listen, you want what you want? Okay, the worst thing we can do to you kids is to let you have what you want. That will destroy you more than anything else if we let you have what you want. Serious? Well, where'd you go to school to learn this stuff? Right here. If your parents want to ruin you, they let you have what you want. Because God is going to let the world have what it wants someday, and it's going to be called the tribulation, and it's going to be horrible. But at first, people think it's pretty neat, just like you think it's pretty neat when you get what you want. But you don't know what's happening to you. When you're 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years old, you will look back and you will see what happened to you, what your parents allowed you to have, how it ruined you. Do we not see that as adults? We see that. Okay. Well, there's just more. I'll look at verse 12. Oh, I got this one underlined. I don't know why. As for my people, these are his own people he's talking about here. Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. No, not with Christians. Come on, that's not true. That's very true. You can buy books in the bookstores today, kids, that tell you ladies how to run your house by being such a good woman. Fascinating Womanhood. Horribly dangerous book to read. And I know a lot of ladies that are in these big, fancy churches of our King James crowd that are reading that book, and they're running their homes wrong by being the godly woman. So there's even, well, I tell you, ladies can be really dangerous. You girls right here, you could grow up and be really dangerous. Can you imagine such a thing? Sweet little Danica and Caitlin and Amanda and Olivia and anybody else. I guess I got it. Not you, Zach, because you're the guy. See? When you get older, I'll tell you what, Zach, when you get older, oh. You might as well change, because you're not going to get anything you want unless you give in to all the women in the world. That's the way it's going to be. He doesn't care. Okay. So we keep going. Let's go on to verse 16. Now we're going to get to some good stuff here in a minute, but this is amazing stuff that he wrote, what he did. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Can you not picture this? Can you really not picture this? If you hear this thing, if you can't picture this, go to the mall. It's just all over the place. Live in Las Vegas. I mean, it's absolutely. And these are his people. These are Christians we're talking about today. This is terrible. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon. This is a sermon in itself. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. I wish they had mufflers today, I'll tell you what, but anyway. The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel in their closets, and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of, why do you emphasize the word baldness so much? Ladies, that's a shameful thing. It happens when you get cancer and stuff like that. Remember, this is Old Testament stuff. And sometimes that happens to people medically. So just keep that in mind too. And instead of a stomacher, a girdling of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, for she being desolate shall sit upon the ground, just sitting on the ground crying. Kids, you ever get so upset that you just plop on the ground and sit there and cry? Why does Amanda look over at Caitlin when I said that? Does that happen, Amanda? Do you kids do that? Oh, I'm sitting right here, I'm not ever going to get up again. And that's the way it's going to be. It's kind of what happens when you preach a sermon sometimes. The ladies go home and go, oh, I'm not going back to that place anymore. We've seen that happen recently. But anyway, let's go to chapter 11. Chapter 11, not captain, but chapter 11. Okay. Let's get into the better stuff. I mean, that's terrible stuff that's going to happen to these people. It is going to happen. But now is this chapter 11. This is what it's going to be like for the better side of the thing, the folks that have trusted the Lord, and then in this day, the ones that obey what the Lord teaches and says. Look at this. Rough camping, huh, Danica? I mean, you probably stayed up late and everything. Because I notice you're yawning a lot. And I tell you, it's one of those things that happens when you go camping before church day. And you just come back tired. That's okay. But listen anyway. You haven't got your grandpa sitting there to distract you. I'll be your distraction this morning. Okay, here we go. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. I know what that means. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, which is what we do. We judge by sight. And neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. We make judgments on what we hear. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. This is about Jesus Christ, and he's come back to the earth. Now, he's talking here because it was always this possibility that he would just come eventually and that would all take place, but it didn't happen. They rejected him, da-da-da-da, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, but now we know he's going to come back, and this is what we're reading about. What it's going to be like when he comes back. This is the way it's going to be like when he comes back. Do you get that? This is the way it's going to be. Verse 5, and the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins and faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. You'll learn about that later in life. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now picture that. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. I would imagine that's not talking about children. That's probably talking about one of your little critters, something like that, the kid, you know. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. Oh, that gets some of us into that picture. That's good. And the little child shall lead them. This will be okay. And these animals, listen, kids, if we put you in front of a lion and a leopard and all these things, boy, I tell you, that wouldn't be a good place to be. I mean, it wouldn't be. But there's going to come a day where you're going to be able to do that. Takes care of hamburgers, but oh well. Some things you have to give up. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw. Go to the zoo and hand the lion a bunch of straw. See what he thinks. Keep your hand towards the back of the straw. Because if he likes the straw, it's because he sees a little meat in there. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. You ever walked up to a snake hole and go, hey, I wonder what's in there? You ever put your hand down there looking for what kind of a snake it would be? Oh, I hear something. What if I can get it? You don't do that. Why? They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. You ever seen the ocean? Remember what Holden says about the ocean? It's huge, and that's just the top. This is what he says, the knowledge, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's a lot of knowledge. The earth will know that then. Now, we know that isn't today. There's not enough knowledge in this world to fill a thimble compared to what it's going to be like someday. In that day there shall be a rule. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll stop. Let's keep going. Let's go down here to Isaiah chapter 5. No, that's another grump. Well, let's do it. I mentioned I'd enjoy these. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Here's another one, but now this is back to the bad stuff. You know, I imagine you kids still aren't getting what I'm trying to tell you, but listen, the future with God is absolutely beyond what we can imagine today. It's even better than a medium rare hamburger with mushrooms and cheese. It's even better than that. Can you imagine such a thing? Think of your bestest food and triple it and gazimble it with numbers, and that's maybe even close how it's going to be. So this is going to be a marvelous time. But now look at this thing again in verse 11. Well, I'll tell you, this isn't good. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. They're the drinking crowd. And the harp, and the vial, and the tabret, and pipe, and wine are in their feasts. What does that mean? It means you got music. Listen, everywhere you go, have you noticed music is in everything today? I mean, if you're just brainless driving a car, you got to have music pounding out what brain you have left. You go to the stores, the music is always playing. You go to restaurants, the music is always playing, if you call it music. You walk down the streets, there's music always playing. Music didn't used to be that way. Didn't used to be that way at all. And now it's absolutely everywhere in the world. And what are Christians doing? Christians have to have music everywhere today. You've heard me say that music has replaced the Bible in people's lives. Why would that be? Because that's what he says it's going to be like. The harp and the vial, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord. It could care less what the Lord's doing today. Neither consider the operation of his hands. When you try to tell your brother or your uncle or your aunt or your friend or whatever about the Lord, about Paul, about that Bible, the King James Bible, they don't want to hear it. That is like saying they regard not the work of the Lord. Neither consider the operation of his hands. And listen, try to tell somebody about this spiritual circumcision thing. That's an operation made by his hands, spiritually. Try to tell somebody about that one. They're just going to laugh at you. But that's okay, because you know what's coming in your future. All of this stuff, the good stuff, is what we're reading about here. Let's go here to, let's keep going. We've got to keep going. Verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. Now, adults, we can see that already. People are going into captivity because they're stupid. They're dumb. They don't know what's going on. And you're trying to tell them. Are you not trying to tell them? And they don't want to hear it. So they're going into captivity. The people in America today are captive to our government. They're captive to a welfare system. They're captive to somebody doing something for them, and that's why they'll vote for them. I guess the latest health plan will give everybody free health, all children free health up to 24 years old. Children, they call that a child up to 24 today. Well, why would they do that? Because 18 to 24 can vote. Well, then, of course, who's going to vote for against health insurance when you don't know what's going on, see? The world is being captive by the world because they don't know what's happening. Anyway. Oh, it's amazing. Therefore, look at what happens as a result. Hell hath enlarged herself. More and more people are going to hell every day. And it's interesting that hell is considered a her. But we won't go there. And open her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. See, there's people going to hell. There's some mean, rotten, wicked people going to hell. We know that. That's understandable. But isn't that sad when you think that there's people out there that are trying to do right, trying to live good, trying to be moral, trying to have standards? And some of those people have better standards and morals than Christians, by the way. And yet those people are still going to go to hell. These people today that think they're Christians, they think they're following Jesus' teachings, they think they're following Bible, they think they're doing right according to their pastor, and they got rid of the Word of God years ago, and they're going to be part of the devil's army. And they think they're Christian. Isn't that sad? Wouldn't that be horrible? So there's a lot of good people that go to hell. But there's a lot of rotten, lousy, scumbaggy people that get to go to heaven. Because they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and accept his righteousness to get them in. It's an amazing thing. But you'll get it as you get older. If your parents keep teaching it to you and preaching to you and showing you this stuff here. You know, we got to end on a really positive note here. Let's go to Isaiah 35. We're just going to have to do more of this next week, I guess. I guess I got next week's lesson already done. I can go back out in the boat, Scott. Oh, no, I can't. Not after Wednesday night sermon. No more boat for me. Okay. Isaiah 35. Yep. Okay, this will be a good note at the end here. The wilderness and the solitary place. You know what solitary is? I know it's not a card game. This is a different thing here. Solitary is just nobody there. It's quiet. That's kind of why they call it solitary, because nobody plays with you. This way you can always win, because nobody will know you're cheating. You ever heard of solitaire? Hello? Okay. Good. Then just forget I said that. That was a dumb thing to say. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Whoa. Isn't that neat? You ever seen a desert? Mm-hmm. Ever seen a desert? Been to a desert, Olivia? You can take care of a desert. You ever been to the beach? Imagine a whole state like that with no water. I mean, it's just sand. That's a desert. And this desert it talks about is going to blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Can you imagine? I'll be able to see when I get up in the morning without my glasses. That will be so exciting. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. You know what you'll never hear in the millennial days? Huh? Well, it's the teenagers there. Then there'll still be some of that, I suppose. But they'll pay in those days. Boy, will they pay in those days. Anyway. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart. Come on, LD, jump the table for us, will you, today? Come on, let's do it. There's no way LD can jump that table. Isn't that sad? I'm not sure LD can jump a shoe on the floor here. But that's how we get. That's how we get. But it won't be that way anymore, ever. LD, just think you'd be able to go hunting and get things legally. Won't that be exciting? Oh, wait, we'll be killing animals, though. We can't do that anymore. And the tongue of the dumb sing? Jerry! You'll be able to sing, finally. You can finally do a harp and a daughter and a dad duet. Finally. Anyway. For the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitations of dragons for each day shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it won't be from Mexico. And it shall be called the way, capital T, the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go upon thereupon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. What do we sing almost every Sunday? Redeemed.
Redeemed, better.
See? Oh, it's going to be a great time. And we'll just have to read more of it next week because I went long, but that's okay. Y'all came late anyway, so you deserve it.